going to require surgery at times. But it is my goal to look the same after surgery, and I'm not going in to look like a duck or anything like that. Come back a platypus or anything. That's not my thing, and if it's yours, I'll laugh at you later. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and also Philippians, the first chapter. Hold Philippians. I said that because it's been a rough week since because I had the same surgery 20 years ago, and I was telling the doctor what was going on, and he did the surgery. He said, "How do you know?" I said, "Trust me." He's just looking at me sideways. I said, "I feel it. It's there." And he got to looking around, and then all of a sudden he brought out that camera. It's about 8 feet long. It goes down and explores your lungs via your nose. And he said, "Oh, there it is." And he said, "It's all the way to the base." And he said, "It's got to come out." So I said, I'm good if you do it right now. And he said, "No, we got to go through protocols." So that meant some heavy steroids. I'm talking about heavy. I'm talking about six a day. And I'm on that. And antibiotics and all of this stuff right now. So I am, I feel like I could. It's crazy. I feel like I got all this energy, and then I can't sleep. So the last two nights, I was up at 1:46 a.m., and then last night, I slept to the late hour of 3 o'clock. The good news is my family got a breakfast casserole out, piping hot, ready to go this morning. I'm like, so if anything goes awry that comes out of this mouth this morning, it was the steroids. So I want to talk just a few minutes about you. You know, this whole year has basically been about discipleship. And we have four pillars in our church, and I've really put a lot of emphasis on these four pillars. It's prayer, it's the word, it's worship, and fellowship, because fellowship is important. I heard somebody the other night say, "Man, that was so good. I got to know them a little bit better." And some of you men and some of you women get together, and outside of this, I love that. That's, to me, that's breaking bread, even if it's at the Golden Corral. You can break yeast rolls and still be biblical. That's okay. But we were here doing Christmas decorations the other night, and I'm telling you, we've got this little building down, and I was telling someone that's just started attending not too long ago, because I was vacuuming this little area right here, and I stopped the vacuum, and I told him, I said, "You know what we do to people that call this a little church?" And he looked at me and was like, "What?" I said, we give them a vacuum cleaner. You'll be saying, "Man, that's Taj Mahal in there. That's a lot to vacuum." But I was so grateful. We can literally, like when we do the Bible studies, we can set the tables up and tear them down in about 5 minutes. It's crazy. So everybody just goes, do. It's like worker bees. But I was so proud the other night when we set the Christmas decorations. Those lights work. So we didn't turn them on, but they work. The garland lights work. Sorry, that's the steroid. So I'm just like, that it took us an hour and a half, because that included eating pizza and talking. Because we literally had those boxes out here and had everything up in no time, and everybody just enjoyed it. I'm hoping that next year it takes us 2 hours, because it really only takes us about 15 or 20 minutes. But you see what I'm saying with that? The fellowship is important. Fellowship, it's part of the discipleship. Jesus had fellowship with his disciples all the time. He cooked them fish. I'm going to heaven. Just so you know, I'm going to heaven. But one of my requests is going to be like, Jesus, you put this outdoors thing inside of me, this outdoor addiction, this bug in me. How about, in about 30, 40,000 years, could we go out and you cook me some of those fish that you cook for your disciples? Has anybody ever had fish for breakfast? I have. We'd catch those fish and take a cast iron pan and a brick of lard. You know what that is? If you know, you know. That fried up the best fish. Well, let's go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And I'm only reading a couple of first verses to get to grace and peace. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, means set apart, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that phrase right there is repeated through several of the epistles that Paul wrote. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. And I heard something that I didn't know, and it made sense to me once he said it, because, you know, there was ministry that went to the Jews, and then there was ministry that went to the Gentiles. And he's encapsulating everybody. He said, to the church of God in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, all, he's just like doing this, he's just like including everybody into a vortex right there. All who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Then he said, grace and peace to you. And I thought that was just so beautiful, because he did it purposefully to encapsulate everybody. Because grace was a Greek word, charos. It meant peace to you. But peace would come in the form of the word shalom, and it was a word irene in the Hebrew. And he was saying to those of you who are Gentiles, his grace to you. To those of you who are Jews, his peace to you. I love that. That's fellowship right there. That's letting us know that you too, you are included too. What an awesome invitation from him. And he said, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just stop right there and say, he said that you come short in no gift. You know what the completion of your gift is? Giving it away. Do you know why God gives you gifts? To be given away. It's not a gift collection. We wouldn't do good with that. Well, I just got more gifts than you do. Your gift is to be given away. That's where fellowship comes in. The fellowship of the believers. Verse 8, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love the word blameless. And you'll find it in other places. You'll find it right there at the beginning of Ephesians. And I love it, because blameless doesn't mean you didn't do anything. It meant you did it, but through him you are free from the guilt of the sins of the past. Are y'all with me this morning? Are y'all on steroids? Because I can do this and you can too. Blameless before God. Free of the guilt of my past sins. Yes, I've got past sins. Yes, you've got past sins. Let's get past the past sins and be thankful to God that I'm free from the guilt. Has anybody ever had the enemy try to knock on the door of your past and say, I know who you were. God knows who you are. Verse 9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know what that tells me? It's possible, but it's not probable. Because he's having to plead for it. Say, no. He's bringing them back. I'm pleading with you. Same mind, same speech. Happened way back at the Tower of Babel, when everybody had something that they wanted to do for themselves. God had to go down and confuse that because the principle was right. God said this, now that the whole world is of one language, in other words, now that they're saying the same thing, anything's possible for them. But they're not doing it for me, they're doing it for themselves. And I got to go down and confuse that. What if we ever got back? And I believe that it's his intention through scriptures like this to get us to the place where we're saying the same thing. Culture doesn't want us to say the same thing. Culture wants to throw anything in there that'll keep us from saying the same thing, because then we won't be unified. Then we won't be united. And of all people, we should be united. Of all people, we should be united. Remember those old committees, church committees? You get, yeah. So you got a committee of six people, a carpet committee. We need a carpet committee. This carpet is not that old, but it's used. We should have got it more of a coffee color. Because you could probably pick it up and wring it out and get about two pots right there. Well, that'd be bad. Well, you like strong coffee. I said before we replaced it, because I've tried to replace the carpet. I've tried two different companies. If you know a good company, let me know, because I'll call them. But I said, if we can't get anybody to replace this carpet, I'm going to get everybody just to make your own cup, and we're going to walk over and just talk and talk like this with a cup of coffee. We're going to splash paint this place, and it's going to look good again. It's going to smell good for a little while. But those old carpet committees, you could say, get everybody, we're going to vote on carpet for the church. Yeah, I want red carpet. Yeah, red carpet. We're going red carpet, 3, 4, 5, red carpet. How about you, number 6? We're going to make it unanimous. Well, I was thinking brown. And that's the end of that. Somebody saying something else when we're supposed to be saying the same thing. We're supposed to be saying the same thing. It only takes that little bit, just something as simple as that, and you can throw a wrench in the whole thing. Amen? I'm telling you the truth. You know it's the truth. He said, so now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. If you will flip over to Philippians. So I plan on taking just a couple of weeks here. So I told Malachi, I said, Philippians chapter 1, 2, and 3. We'll see how far we go. I told him, I said, I'll be watching. I'll just be figuring out. Didn't I, Malachi? I said, I'll be gauging when people start thinking. I can see it in their eyes when they're thinking about that leftover turkey sandwich. I can gauge that, and I'll let you go. We're going to pick up at verse 2 right here, because he basically says the same thing to all the saints, bishops, deacons. Verse 2, grace and peace to you. Charis and Irene, shalom, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship. Say fellowship. in the gospel from the first day until now. It is a blessed thing to have fellowship where the believers meet. To not see somebody coming and get that old pit in your stomach. To not get those butterflies, they're going to be there. It's one of the things that touched me. I've heard such kind words last week that people said, and one of the things they said is that I just don't know of dissensions in the church. I just don't know of backbiting in the church. And I can tell you this, that's not because we're lucky. It's not because we're lucky. Peace is something that you have to fight to get. And sometimes peace is something that you have to fight to keep. Right now in our country, there's a lot of things going on. There's National Guardsman, Guardsperson, Guardsman Lady, I don't even know how the title is, but lost her life this week, and another one was shot because of the hatred that's in the world, because of the dissension, because of the evil that's in the world. Heart goes out to them. George, your whole family, guardsmen, served. It's a sad day. Our fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You do your part, he'll do his. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Isn't that loving words? That just is that's so touching to me. He said, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. What a goal. Sincere, without offense, until the day I die. How beautiful that would be in the body of Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. He's talking about imprisonment. Got that kind of love and joy in his heart, and he served time in prison. From prison, he's writing letters like this, just beautiful. That tells me that prison might stop my body, but it won't stop his spirit. Amen? So that it has become more evident to all the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. I'm going to drop down. He's just giving God glory right there. He said, even the guards see it. Even the guards. Has anybody ever been to a prison service? A jail service? It's pretty amazing. I know, I've heard the stories, that how it lasts while they're in jail when they get out. Well, how do you perform during the week when you get out of church? All right, I'm going to start being nice again, but I'm just saying, that's the steroids, amen. We're just human, after all, right? But if Christ lives inside of us, we can be better. We can be a reflection. We can be a resemblance of him. We can be a recognition of him if he lives inside of us. And if we can be, then we should be. A reflection or a resemblance, a recognition of Christ. How about that if somebody saw you and said, I recognize Christ in you? Verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always. So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet I shall choose. What I shall choose, I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two. Listen to these choices. Having the desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better, nevertheless, to remain with you in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There it is again, one spirit, one mind, saying the same things, thinking the same things. Keeping the same things on our mind. Keeping the same meditation. Keeping that thing going. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries. That right there. You know that you've got a friend. You know that you've got somebody to stand by your side. Which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, he's trying to get you to the place of having the mind of Christ, because that's where Christ was when he did this. Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. In other words, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It comes down to this. What I've read you so far is really like a conduct report. It's our conduct. Yes, you say you're a Christian, but what does your life say about you that your mouth doesn't? Do your actions follow what you boast? I believe it does. And if it doesn't, then I know that it should. I believe it does. But if it doesn't, I know that it should, because his word says it should. And there's a way that we are supposed to treat each other. There's a way we're supposed to treat each other. There's a big thing that's been going on for years about mentoring. Get a mentor. Get a life coach. Get somebody to tell you what you're doing wrong or how to do it better. And we get that jacked up. We get that messed up. I was talking to somebody this week about somebody giving them marital advice. And I said, how many times have they been married? Just came right out. How many times have they been married? 3 times. I said, wrong. Wrong person. Why is it that people can fail so much miserably in certain areas, but they can tell you what you need to do? It's not a day of meddling. I'll come back up here. I'm getting too close. I can tell. I smell dressing and turkey and gravy. A waft go across the room. I told you I'll let you go. It's been a good week. But there's a way we're supposed to treat each other. And where mentoring goes, yeah, I've looked for it. I've sought it out. And I'm not saying this to say that I am somebody other than who I am. I want you to understand what I'm trying to say right here. The Bible says that you could have 10,000 guardians, but not many fathers. That's a powerful statement. Can I tell you this? It's true. When I left my denomination that I was in for 37 years and 9 months, think about that. I was in a denomination 37 years and 9 months. That meant when my mother was pregnant, I didn't miss a service. I was right there tucked away. And I had all of that ingrained in me, and I'm very grateful for my heritage. I am. But I did not realize when I stepped away from that on my own accord, didn't do anything wrong. I did not know how sharp the knife that cut that cord was. I mean, it was cut in a day's time. People I had known my life wouldn't speak to me. And I'm like, hey, I'm not mad. I'm not leaving because I'm mad. There's something more than just this club. There's something more than just these politics. There's coming into alignment with who God is. That's what I'll do. And that's how I got to where I'm at today, 21 years past that. Could be the steroids, but I think my math is right. So I've been doing this for a minute. And one thing I've learned about mentoring is that I can learn from someone older than me. I can learn from someone my same age. I can learn from someone younger than me. I can learn from a child. Doesn't His Word say that? We must become as little children. How can you do that unless you see their example? To live that way. To refuse to use my mouth on someone else. To refuse to tear someone down. I told you a few minutes ago that peace that you feel didn't come easy. And I can tell you where I knew it was going to be a fight. It's when someone came to me and said, Pastor, you need to go talk to this person about this. That churchy attitude. You need to go talk to them about this. I knew that was the time right then when if we were going to ever have this, I was going to have to start right there and say, well, have you talked to them about that? Because right here, Matthew, it says, you're supposed to go talk to them about that. I ain't going to talk to them. That's the pastor's job. So you're just a one man? Well, this was actually a woman, ladies. So you're just the complaining committee then. So you're not going to do what the Word says? No, the Word's too hard. And I said, well, then that's the end of our conversation. I don't have any new revelation for you. It's really just that simple. Folks, if we won't do what this says, just put club on the place. Just write club on it. We will tear this thing down until we get to somebody that's close enough to us, but we still know that we're just a little bit better than them, and that will be our club. Or we can say, God made them. they have value. I'm going to prefer them over myself. That's how you get to a place of unity. That's how you get to a true place of fellowship. I like coming over here to these boys. I'm starting to call them my boys now because Walker and Will. Go Rocky High. Bearcats right here. Pray for Will. His team got beat yesterday. Those Gamecocks, there were feathers flying. Your team won. But we're going to have unity right here. So much unity that we were talking about Will coming down the road and we're trying to figure out where to eat. Today we're going to go someplace and found out, oh, Will likes Cracker Barrel. So we both said, ask Will if he'll go with us. He's going with us to Cracker Barrel today. He's taking us all out to eat today. No, I'm just kidding. We got you, Will. Can I tell you what that is? That's fellowship. That's breaking bread. That's getting to know somebody. And I'm seeing you do it. And I want you to know your pastor's proud of you. It's breaking down walls. That's breaking through cultural lines. If we'll do that, we'll love each other. We'll be there for each other. This is my favorite place to be. I say it all the time at home. I can't wait for Sunday. I love it there. I really do. And the truth is, for some of us, this family can be a softer place than your blood family. I don't like that. I wish that weren't the case. But I always want this to be a place of spiritual family where we take care of each other, where we're not mean on each other. There may be times when we actually have to say things that are harsh, strong. In those instances, we will follow the biblical method, and we will be better for it. The Bible talks about gaining a brother out of conflict. I have seen that happen. I've actually seen some things that could have torn apart. Because we realize it's something God wanted, that the mend is stronger at the break through healing. That happens in our natural body. Why can't it happen in our spiritual body? I said this the other week. I've heard people say, church the place that, yeah, church the place I got hurt. But I like what my wife said. What about church the place I got healed? What about that? What about that? Yeah. That's possible. It's possible. It's not only possible, it's His will. When you think about what eternity is, you better want to be around the people that you worship with for a long time. And I want to do that. So let me just end it with this. The goal is to talk about fellowship and what that means. And you know that scripture in Hebrews is going to come up. Chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. I've never been one to call and say, where are you at? Where are you at? When are you coming back? Where are you? You're doing what you want to do. People, I've learned this in 58 years, in 30 plus years of pastoring people, that people are where they want to be or where they have to be. One of those two. They're where they want to be or where they have to be. I'm okay with that. I'm not telling you that I'm going to question you. You don't have to answer the question to me why you're not here. But you do have to answer the question to God why you don't want to be. Now I'm going to let you go home. And hope that you come back. Listen. This church is not like a lot of churches. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm the pastor of it. I feel humbled to pastor. pastor this church. But I know it took some things to get here, some hard conversations. But I'm all about the fellowship of the believers. And I truly 100% strongly enough that I put it as one of our four pillars. It is very important because it follows a biblical model that Jesus had, the fellowship. If I miss it 1 week, I long for it. I hurt for it. But the scriptures that I studied, it talked about apostasy. And to prevent apostasies from happening, you get ahead of it by having fellowship and coming and being a part. And the danger of not being here was what opened the door to apostasy. Not immediately, but when you get away, then you're exposed to what the world's got. And it has an influence. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. We'll talk more about that later. Would you stand with me this